This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
This is Rock School, and I put this show together this morning.
This morning,
yes,
yeah.
I did. I need to fill the hours.
Let's give it up for preparation.
That's Yay. Right, ladies and gentlemen.
And Chad P.
Do you know what a black cow is?
I've seen a black cow.
No.
It's deeper than that. Sorry, I forgot we're going deep.
Class is in.
In the summertime when the weather is hot. This is Rock School. My name is Joe Burns. I am a professor in the communication department, Southeastern Louisiana University. Sitting next to me, a lovely young man. Your name is?
Embarrassed P.
Oh, well, that's something you need to work on. You can usually find books that will help you with that.
You did.
This is Rock School, and I put this show together this morning.
This morning,
yes,
yeah.
I did.
Tell
yeah.
me that off air.
That's right. You see, I'm not working. I don't actually start to teach for another month, so I need to fill the hours.
Let's give it up for preparation.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The concept was this. We haven't done a Steely Dan show yet, so I started putting together the history of Steely Dan, and I got bored with it. What I found was more interesting to me was, what in the world is Steely Dan talking about? This is where Steely Dan really upsets people. Their lyrics are so weird that people really don't know what they're talking about in their songs.
They kind of get Don McLean-ish in their lyrics?
You see, I know what they're talking about.
Okay.
I think I do, at least.
Okay.
I've been a fan of Steely Dan since college, back in the year 19...
Wait, what was that? 1930 what?
Back when there first were pipes invented and water was brought into homes and electricity was brought in. But I've really studied the group. Van Halen's my favorite group, but Steely Dan is easily my second favorite group. I love them to death. I think they're wonderful. And I've really listened to the songs and tried to figure out what I think the songs mean.
Okay.
So today I'm going to put together a little show called What in the World is Steely Dan Talking About?
All right.
If you've ever listened to a Steely Dan song and thought, I have no concept of what this is about, I'm going to do my best with some of their biggest hits to explain to you what the song means.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
Let's start with an easy one. Black cow. Drink your big black cow and get out of here. Is he talking about a Holstein? A cow? No. Huh. You ever heard of a black cow? Do you know what a black cow is?
I've seen a black cow.
No.
It's deeper than that. Sorry, I forgot we're going deep.
You have to be from the north. If you're from the south, you may have heard of a black cow. But if you're from the north, a black cow is an ice cream float.
Huh?
It really is. Down here, you have root beer float. You take a scoop of vanilla ice cream, you put it into a glass, you pour root beer over top of it. That's called a root beer float.
Yes.
In the north, you can go get a custard float.
Okay.
If you take white custard and pour root beer over it, sometimes they call it a custard float.
All right.
There's as many recipes as there are places to buy it. Where I used to go near Cleveland was a place called The Meadows. If you took chocolate custard, threw it into a glass, poured root beer over top of it, it was called a black cow.
You people are so strange.
That's what a black cow is.
Okay.
The story is about this guy who is tired of a woman coming to him every time she gets dumped. He's tired of being her sounding board.
He's her rebound.
Right. He's tired of it. And they're inside of this place called Rudy's. You'll hear it. You were in Rudy's. You were very high. You were high. And he says to her, I'm tired of it. Drink your big black cow and get out of here.
Oh, okay.
Now, someone's going to say, that's not the recipe for a black cow. Where I came from, it was chocolate custard, which is ice cream made with egg whites, by the way. Black custard, chocolate custard, root beer over top of it. That's a black cow. That's what the song means.
Well, all right, then.
And here you go. Through the remainder of the show, we will play Steely Dan songs, and I'll tell you what they mean. That one I know I'm right. The rest of them? Not so sure. Steely Dan, Rock School. Big Black Cow and get out of here.
That song is just oozing custard and root beer.
Oh, it is. Oh, yeah.
But that is an interesting story about the name of it.
And the funny thing is, I don't know where I heard this, but I heard, and if I'm wrong, no need to write us an email, but if I'm wrong, I had heard that wind melts custard faster than heat.
What?
Oh, I don't know. It was the custard place was closer to my house than the ice cream place.
Okay.
And my dad was cheap. So we would drive to the custard place faster than we would the ice cream place.
No, I love custard. We have a custard store right around the corner from our house in Prairieville.
Go ask the guy for a black cow. See if he knows how to make it.
I don't think I want one of those.
Oh, they're good.
But I love custard. I'd rather custard than ice cream.
Oh, they're wonderful. I think it's great. Donald Fagen, Walter Becker made up Steely Dan, and this show is... What in the world is Steely Dan talking about? You've heard the song Ricky Don't Lose That Number. Guarantee it. What? What are they talking about? I've heard a lot of people say that Ricky is a guy. Ricky is being given the number by a prostitute. When you get home, take this number.
And don't lose it.
Yeah. Well, it's not R-I-C-K-Y.
It's see, the spelling. K-K-I.
Right. The spelling of the name tips it off. A lot of people think Ricky Don't Lose That Number is Ricky Lee Jones.
Okay.
As in... R-I-K-K-I-L-E-E Jones.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't think so. I think the meaning of the song is a love from his college. You see, Donald Fagen went to Bard College in New York.
All right.
Ricky, I believe, is Ricky Ducournet. Spell that D-U-C-O-R-N-E-T if you want to look it up. She was the daughter of a professor of sociology at the college. Now, there's a question as to whether she was pregnant at a party or not. It wasn't Fagen's baby. It wasn't Donald Fagen's baby. But he apparently had a thing for her.
Okay.
And she was in trouble. Why he gave her his phone number is in question. But apparently, she was uninterested. He gave the phone number. He was rejected. And this really had an effect on him. She later became the writer in residence, believe it or not, at the University of Louisiana.
Get out.
How about that?
Uh-huh.
His level in contact with her is in doubt past this party, but apparently the contact gave him enough of, what would you call it, enough of an emotional burst to want to write the song. So I think Ricky Don't Lose That Number is simply a song remembering a time where he carried a torch for a girl named Ricky Ducournet.
Could be.
And she didn't much care. Here, Ricky, don't lose that number. Steely Dan, what in the world are they talking about? I think it was something that happened at a party. I may be wrong, but I'll bet I'm not. Rock School. What do you think? Am I right?
Hey, I think you hit it,
dude. Once you hear it up front, then listen to the lyrics, it kind of makes sense. Now, this next one, I have told this to a few people, and they've told me that I'm absolutely out in left field.
Yeah?
But, you know, the third song, I like to throw something out to make people go, no. But we'll give it a try.
Let's see.
By the way, on this third one, listen to the backing vocals. It's Michael McDonald, as in the Doobie Brothers. Yeah,
ooh.
The high backing vocals. This is Peg. As in, Peg, you will come back to me. When the shutter falls, you see it all. It's your very foreign movie. Now, it sounds like he, the protagonist in the song, is listening to a girl who's getting away. He was once in love with her, and now she's out in California, and she's making movies done up in blueprint blue. It sure looks good on you, and when you smile for the camera... it sounds like, you know, he's sort of missing this girl.
This is another tragic love story?
No, I think it's more devilish than that. You see, here's the line that I think the whole song hinges on.
Okay.
It's your very foreign movie. The whole way through the song, they keep saying, foreign movie, foreign movie. The background is always, when the shutter falls, it's your very foreign movie. What does foreign movie have to do with anything? Okay, here's where people go, eh, and their eyes roll.
All right.
I think she's making a stag film.
What?
I think she's making a dirty movie because of two things. Stag films used to be called foreign movies.
Okay.
It was code. Number two, stag films used to be printed in blue.
Ooh.
They used to print them instead of in sepia tone, in brown tone, or just in black and white. They would do them in blue. Why? Because you ever heard of a comedian working with dirty language?
Yeah.
What do they call that? Working blue. They used to do them in blue.
So you're saying that he is saying that Peg left him to go and make bad movies?
That's what I think it is. I think the singer is warning a girlfriend against making a dirty movie because... First time he says to her, when you smile for the camera, I know they're going to love it. That's what I think. And because of the foreign movie and the fact that she's done up in blueprint blue, I think it's a warning. I don't think that he's pining for a girlfriend. I think it's a warning saying to her, look, I know you've gone to California. I know you want to make it in films, but this is not the film you want to make it in.
Peg, 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 you naughty girl.
I think that's what the song is about. So
let's go.
I know it's a poppy sounding song, but I think it's a little more nefarious than that's that as we talk about what the songs of Steely Dan mean, at least to me, Peg, Rock School.
I think he's angry.
Is he just pining for a girlfriend that's left him for California?
Could be. I don't know.
Why on earth would he be talking about a foreign movie, though? Why would she be done up in blueprint blue?
I bet when he sat down and wrote the song, he said, let's include the line foreign movie, and then one day two schmucks will do some kind of show where they try to dissect the lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll give
him
a good show topic.
That's what he was concerned about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what he was concerned about. Ah, my dear. Let's say hello to a couple affiliates. Who do you want
right.
to say hey
I want to say hey to a college radio station in Baton Rouge who's got a pretty decent baseball team. That would be KLSU 91.1 Tiger Radio. Thank you so much for being part of the Rock School Radio Network.
You betcha. And you can also catch us on iTunes. We are there, and people are listening. I'm getting feedback through my Facebook page. Oh, yes, absolutely love it. When we get back, we're going to do it again as we talk Steely Dan. 1 minute, Rock School.
This is Rock School as we attempt to tap into the fourth dimensional realm known as Fagan and Becker's minds.
What in the world is Steely Dan talking about? This morning I was trying to put together the history of Steely Dan. I just found myself more interested in what do the songs mean? You listen to the tunes and you think, what are they talking about?
I love doing shows like this, though, because you do have those musicians like Don McLean that sit down and they write a really, really good song and you have no earthly idea that there's two, three, four, even five hidden meanings in their lyrics.
Well, if I'm right, that's the question.
Hey, if you're not, it still made a great show.
Hopefully.
Good stories.
Hopefully. Let's do It Again. The song Do It Again has a lot of little tips to Vegas. You find you're back in Vegas with a handle in your hand. Slot machine. The problem is, I don't think it means slot machine.
What would it be?
The whole thing talks about, I believe, the overriding concept of the song, talks about a man who is in love with a woman who will not stop cheating on him.
What?
And he keeps going back to her.
Okay.
I think that's the concept. Now, verse 1 simply talks about him going after one of the guys she cheated on him with, and he beats him up.
Okay.
Now, I get that because in the morning you go gunning for the man who stole your water. It's an old phrase like from the Western, and they catch you at the border, but the hangman isn't hanging, so they put you on the street. I think what that means is he goes into the judicial system, and they don't feel like doing anything to him.
So he takes the law into his old hands.
And they say, no, I think the law looked at him and went, well, you didn't do so bad. Get out of here.
Okay.
Okay. In the second one, he decides to get back at her by cheating on her.
All right.
And it says, when you know she's no high climber, so he picks up, you know, just someone.
Whoever.
You know, in a room with your two-timer, mm-hmm. get it, and you're sure you're near the end, so you love a little wild one and you find you have only sorrow, get it?
Yes.
You'll be on your knees tomorrow. I think that's begging her forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
In the third verse, they are in Vegas with an intervention with his friends. His friends grab him and take him to Vegas.
Okay.
They say, come on, man, let her go. Now you swear and kick and beg us that you're not a gambling man. Then you find we're back in Vegas with a handle in your hand. I think they're talking about booze.
Okay.
I think they're talking about drinking. Your black cards will make you money. I don't think they're talking about actual cards. I think they're talking about his abilities, the bad things he can do.
Okay.
So you hide them when you're able, but in this land of milk and honey, you must put them on the table. You got to tell us the truth.
Uh-huh.
We got to tell you the truth. This is an intervention. Hmm. Look, this woman will just continue to keep cheating on you. But he doesn't care. He's going to keep going back to her. So that's what I think the whole song is. It's simply a story told in metaphor of a guy who's in love with a woman who just will not stop cheating
well,
on
him. Well, let's
see. All right? All Do right. it again. Steely Dan, Rock School.
Bass in that song?
I don't know offhand. Walter Becker probably wrote the bass line, but they brought in a professional to turn it into what it was. They normally came in to the studio with the song laid out.
Uh-huh.
It was skeletal structure. Then they brought in session musicians and said to them, okay, make it beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, like say for the guitar solo, they would bring in four or five guys and say, you know, blow a solo.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would listen to the solos and say, okay, number three is the best, and they would take it. They really weren't as much perfectionists as they were attempting to create music that would last an eon.
Okay.
You know, that you could listen to it. That song was written in the 70s, and when you listen to it today, you know, past 2000, you know, almost to 2010, it still holds up.
Uh-huh.
Brilliant piece
now,
of music.
Now, do they take turns as vocalists, Fagan and Becker? Or
the only Becker vocals that I know of is he put out a solo album.
Oh, so he doesn't sing in Steely Dan at all?
I'm wondering if he did backup vocals. I'd have to look up whether he did or not, but I don't know of any hits that he did straight vocals on. Off the top of my head, I don't know of any. Donald Fagen was the vocalist except for a couple songs on the original Steely Dan album on the Can't Buy Me a Thrill. And you're really testing my gray matter here, and I'm on vacation. Let's do 7 days in 70 seconds. This is going to be Monday, May 25th, all the way through Sunday, May 31st. I believe you have a music bed for me.
Always.
Mr. Chad, do Monday, please.
All right, on May 25th, in 1978, Mr. Keith Moon performed with The Who for the very last time.
Too bad. May 26, back in 1969, John Lennon and Yoko Ono begin an 8-day bed-in for peace at Montreal's Hotel Something in French.
On May 27th in 1964, 11 boys were suspended at a Coventry, England school because they had their hair styled just like Mick Jagger.
On May 28th, back in 1957, the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, which awards Grammys, is established.
On May 29th in 1963, Del Shannon's cover of the Beatles song From Me to You is the first song written by John Lennon and Paul McCartney to appear on the American charts.
Yep. May 30th, back in 1978, Led Zeppelin begins recording In Through the Outdoor. The album will reach number one. And then May 31st, back in 1976, a Who concert in London makes the Guinness Book of World Records the loudest performance by a rock group, 104 decibels.
Hey, there you go.
Thank goodness it was outdoors. Had it been indoors, probably would have broken someone's eardrum. Now, Chad pointed out during the last song that the last three that I played were all about a young lady.
Well, you know
just noticing the pattern here.
Two-thirds of every song ever written is about unrequited love.
It's the only
thing that all human beings have in common, right? This one is not. This is my favorite Steely Dan song, King of the World.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple. I think it's easy to figure this one out. It's a post-apocalyptic story. The bomb has dropped. The world is in pure chaos. A survivor is calling out on a ham radio. He even says, "Can you hear me calling on this old ham radio?" The chorus tells exactly what's happened. He says, "No marigolds in the promised land."
Mm-hmm.
Promised land, Israel.
Mm-hmm.
"No marigolds in the promised land. There's a hole in the ground where they used to grow." The bomb.
The bomb.
"Any man left on the Rio Grande is the king of the world, as far as I know." And you'll hear the whole way through it. The fact that he's reading last year's papers.
Uh-huh. Well,
there's not been any papers because the bomb has dropped and things are bad. That's the basic story.
Hmm.
It's a post-apocalyptic story. I liked the song before I really sat down and figured out what it was all about. It's not that I dig post-apocalyptic stories. It's just that this one happened to catch my fancy. King of the World, Rock School.
Kind of sounds like game show music. And all this can be yours if the price is right.
If the price is right. In a post-apocalyptic world. Hello, Radio Universidad. How is all of this translating from English to Spanish? I would assume Steely Dan is popular over there as well.
Yeah, no doubt.
I would assume. Who's listening to us in Shreveport?
That would be all the wonderful people listening to KSCL.
Now, when we get back, maybe the best known Steely Dan song, Deacon Blues. It's pretty easy to figure out what the song is about. The question is, why Deacon Blues? Why they call Alabama the Crimson Tide? What does the chorus even mean? When you figure out the year that it was written in, it all falls together like a puzzle.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break, come back in 1 minute, and I'll tell you what Steely Dan meant when they wrote Deacon Blues. Back, 1 minute, Rock School.
I noticed something.
What's that?
When I air shred, it looks like I'm swatting at a fly.
Yeah, it does. You don't quite have your hands in the right place. That's fine. When I air drum, it looks like I need pills. Okay, we're doing a show on Steely Dan. Rather than the history of the band, it's a question, what in the world is Steely Dan talking about? Deacon Blues. The overall concept, just by listening to it, you can probably pick this out. The overall concept is it is an ode to a loser.
Yeah.
He wants to be celebrated for all that he is not. It's as close to Willie Loman in The Death of a Salesman. He's a loser. He's not going to be successful, and he knows it. He wants to be given a name. All these winners have names. He wants to be given a name when he loses. He's got a boring life. He wants to give up, you know, all his 9-to-5 gray flannel world. He tries to pick up the saxophone. He wants to become a musician. But even so, you can get the feeling he knows he's going to be a failure at that too. The question is, the chorus goes, "They got a name for the winners in the world. I want a name when I lose. They call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Call me Deacon Blues." Where does this come from? Think about the year that it was written. In 1977, the year that the song was written, Bear Bryant's Alabama Crimson Tide went 11-0.
Ooh.
They were the most popular and most feared football team in college ball.
They were the winners.
Right. Alabama, they call Alabama the Crimson Tide. The losers of that year were the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. They went 1-10.
Uh-huh.
Blues is a kind of music.
Yeah.
They call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Call me Deacon Blues.
Hey.
There it is.
There you go.
All right. Deacon Blues right here. Rock School.
This is the day of the
Oh, that is some.
We hope you've enjoyed your flight today.
Tasty guitar work. Absolutely beautiful.
I kind of like Deacon the horns. Blues.
Oh, it's a great sax solo. It really is. But absolutely beautiful guitar work in there from the Asia album, Deacon Blues. So far,
I think that's my favorite one.
Oh, you like that one so far?
I like that story.
Beautiful.
As far as the timeline and everything and the reference to the Alabama Crimson Tide, I love that.
It just seems to me like they always seem to go to the downer story. They like their characters to be on the downside. They like the loser characters a lot more. I only have one here called Any Major Dude that is an uplifting Steely Dan song.
Nah, and why break a good trend?
Yeah, let's end with one that's about somebody with a cocaine habit. Bad Sneakers. The song's called Bad Sneakers. We're going to end on it. It's one of the very short ones. Everything we've played has been about 6 or 7 minutes long, and Chad looked at me and he said, look, we got a back time to the top of the hour. Is there anything called a short Steely Dan song? Yeah, I brought two of them. So we'll end up on Bad Sneakers. If you've ever listened to it, the question is, why is he wearing bad sneakers? It's the overriding theme is a guy who is tired of rehab, leaves, and falls off the wagon.
Again.
The first line says, five names that I can hardly stand to hear, including yours and mine and one more, Chip, who isn't here.
Okay,
you know how at rehab they stand,
Hi, my name is Chip.
Yeah,
Hi, Bob,
that kind of thing. After a certain amount of time, if you haven't drank or taken the drug, you get a little chip.
Okay.
That's what he's saying, including yours and mine and one more chip who isn't here.
Oh.
And you can tell he's out in California because he says, I can hear the ladies talking how the times are getting hard in that fearsome excavation on Magnolia Boulevard. Okay, he's out in California.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, you find out that he's a cocaine user because he says, hey, fella, you tearing up the street. You wear that white tuxedo. How you gonna beat the heat? White tuxedo, cocaine. How you gonna beat the heat? Cops.
Okay.
Do you take me for a fool? Do you think that I don't see the ditch out in the valley that they're digging just for me? Meaning if I don't knock this off, I'm gonna die.
Right. They're digging my grave.
Right. He's now in he's now out of California. He's now in New York City because he says bad sneakers and a pina colada, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting drunk, stomping on the avenue by Radio City. So
Radio
he's
City
fallen off
hall.
The wagon, has somehow gotten to New York, has no idea how he's done it. Bad sneakers. He's got a lot of money in his pocket, and he's back on the stuff.
Hey.
So that's it. That's the story. It's about a guy who got sick of rehab, fell off the wagon, somehow got to the East Coast, and is now walking up and down New York City with a giant drink in his hand.
Well, there you go.
That's it. And that's what I think. I got a bunch more. I could do an entire other show on just what I think Steely Dan songs
mean. And you know,
mean.
I openly welcome any Steely Dan fan that hears this show that has a different interpretation of these songs. We'd love to hear from you. KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. Why don't you just email us and say, Burns, I disagree.
I wish you would. And again, my name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
And that does it. Glasses dismissed.